there again to the fourth chapter of the book of Romans, Romans chapter 4, and that 16th verse. Kind of want to talk about that a little bit here this evening. Verse 16, fourth chapter of the book of Romans. We read to you some here this morning. From the first through the sixth verse, and also read to you from the 20th through the 25th verse about Him who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is by faith that we are connected with Him. And faith is a gift of God. God, it's a gift of God's free favor. Gives us a gift to believe and to trust in Him as He has revealed Himself in the Scriptures as to who He is and what He's done. And it also gives us a sure and certain understanding that what He said is true. But here in this 16th verse, it says, he's talking about the salvation of God and the righteousness of God, the obedience of God in Christ. Therefore, it is of faith. Therefore, it is of faith. Faith is not salvation. Faith joins us to the one who is salvation, and faith is a gift of God. Faith doesn't die for us. Faith doesn't suffer for us. Faith works no miracles for us. Faith joins us. Faith's the gift of God, and it joins us to Him who is salvation, who's our righteousness, our obedience, our sin bearer, our sanctification, our justification. He's everything that a poor, miserable, hopeless, down-and-out sinner needs to be made right with God. It's all in the Lord Jesus. God put it all in Christ. So, therefore, it is a faith that it might be by grace, free favor of God, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, to all the seed that was promised to Abraham. That seed, those people, human beings, that would finally, ultimately, and finally be saved by the grace of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, therefore it is a faith that it might be by grace to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed. Now, men come to earthly inheritance one of about three different ways. They either come by heirship, they inherit it from their father, their mother, their uncle, or someone. They come to earthly inheritance either by heirship or gift or purchase inheritance. And everyone that receives an inheritance, however he receives it, whether he inherits it or whether it's a gift or whether it's purchased, every one of them can tell how he came by what he received. He can tell you. Who was it was telling me before church? Someone was surrounded by property, had several hundred acres or maybe 1,000 acres, all that. Someone said, well, he must have been a good businessman to manipulate and be able to own all this land. He must have been a fine businessman. And the fellow that knew him said to this other fellow that made the statement, he must have been a good businessman. Well, I said, no, said, he no businessman at all. He said he never done anything. Said all that was given to him. All that was given to him. Now, if he'd be honest with you, and you ask him how he come to get a hold of all that, if he was honest, he'd have to say, I inherited it. I didn't earn it. I didn't buy it. It didn't come by my good works. It was given to me. I inherited it from my father. Now, I say that a man who inherits something in this life by gift or purchase, he's able to tell how he came by this estate and by what right he has to hold on to it. He can tell you that. Now, in light of that, let us examine our heavenly inheritance. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We are believers. We have been adopted into the family of God. Not everybody, not every human being that came from the loins of Adam, but these that are the object of God's free favor. He gives them an inheritance, and that inheritance is in His Son. And He wrought that inheritance for us. Heavenly inheritance. So, if each one that has an earthly inheritance can tell how he came by his inheritance and by what right he has to hold on to it, then I think that those of us who have a heavenly inheritance, we ought to be able to tell how we come to possess it and by what means we hold on to it and enjoy it. Well, we could say that this inheritance is yours if you are a believer in God Christ. Now, I don't mean just a head belief that you believe that He was and is in history and His name is revered in various places and people honor Him on the Lord's Day and honor His birth and honor His death and so forth. I know who He is. He's Jesus and all that. I'm saying those that know who He is, that He is God Himself. And the desire and the will and the purpose of God was to save a portion, a great many, a number that cannot be numbered. He determined by His will and purpose to save so many out of Adam's fallen race. It's sovereign grace, sovereign mercy. He's going to save some of them. And those that He saves, they're going to know who saved them. And they're going to have an inheritance, and they're going to know how they come to get that inheritance. And I say that this inheritance is by purchase. By purchase. Now, not that you and I ever did anything to contribute to the purchase of it. We never contributed one single solitary penny to buy it. But yet it comes by purchase. But Christ, who is our elder brother, he paid the full price for our inheritance and our salvation. It comes by purchase. We didn't pay a penny for it, but he paid all that we owe. He paid the full price. It was not like I'm buying a $100 bicycle and I give the man $20, and next month I'll give you another $20, and then the next month I'll give you another $20. But he paid the full price. The price that was demanded for our salvation, for the salvation of God's people, he paid the full, complete price that the justice of God demanded. God's justice, God's holiness, the chief attribute of God. He has several attributes, but the chief attribute of God is His holiness. His holiness demands that justice be satisfied, that the sinner pays what he owes to God. That's what justice demands. Justice demands that I pay what I owe to God's strict, unalterable, inflexible, unbending justice. God demands that. I can't do it. I can't do it. If it was left up to me, I'd have been in hell an hour after I was born, or a minute after I was born. If there would have been a condition put upon me to pay, I couldn't pay. I come empty-handed. I'm in debt 10,000 talents, not a penny to pay. But in the wisdom of God, in the Trinity of His persons, the Lord Jesus Christ said, I'll pay the price. I'll purchase their redemption. These that you gave me, all that the Father giveth to me comes to me, and I will not in any wise cast them out. They'll all come to me. And He said, I'll pay what they owe. Their debt against God, the accumulated sins, I'll take all the penalty that's due their sins. Your people that you gave to me, thine they were, that you give them to me. And so I'll be their surety. I'll stand in their stead. I'll become a man like their men. So he become a man. Took upon himself our nature apart from sin. He had no sinful nature. And he lived a perfect life. Not a single flaw in his 33 years upon this earth. Not a single flaw. Not a blemish. He said, I'll pay what they owe. As a man and as a sinless man, I'll offer myself sinless perfection. I'll bear the judgment that's due them against their sins. I'll take their penalty. I'll take their punishment. I'll take all that. There's, just think of the sins that we have committed in our lifetime. Words that bring no honor to God that we've uttered. Thoughts that have been dirty and polluted. Acts that have been ungodly. All of our little, so-called little sin, there's no such thing as a little sin. Sin is obnoxious to God, this monster. And our Lord Jesus Christ now, He said, I'll pay for every sin of my people. Those that you gave to me. I come for a people. I go to prepare a place for them, those that you gave me. They must be redeemed. They must have a righteousness. Justice must be satisfied. And as a man, I'll stand for them. I'll go their bond. I'll sign my name and guarantee that I'll pay everything they owe. And he suffered. Suffered. No one knows how he suffered. How he said, he who knew no sin suffered. Suffered for sin. Because my sin and your sin, if you're a believer, was transferred from you and laid on him. The sinless man. And that sinless man, all man, he is hungry. He got thirsty. He got tired. He got sleepy. He wept. He is a man. And all of our sins, all the punishment due our sins, 16 ounces to a pound. No more, no less. Laid on him. He said, I'll bear their punishment. He purchased our redemption by the giving of himself in our place and in our room. So it's yours by purchase. Not that you did ever contribute one penny to buy it, but Christ, our elder brother, my soul, what a brother. I have one brother. He's about 79 years old. One brother. Haven't seen him for several years. Lives in Detroit City, up in that area. Been there for 40 years or more. He's my elder brother. And I like him. I love him. Hope the best for him. But would he ever, in light of what our Lord did, would he ever do that for me? Well, no, he couldn't because he's a sinner like I am. But we have an elder brother. I mean, a true brother who sticketh, he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And he loved me when I was unlovable. Was nothing lovable about me. There may have been something lovable about you. I think probably there was. But there's nothing lovable about me because I know me better than you know me. There was nothing in the catalog of love that was lovable about this poor, stupid, rebellious, ignorant, arrogant, polluted, condemned sinner. That would attract him to me. Nothing. He did it out of pure, unadulterated love, my elder brother. He stood in my stead. So I'm going to bear his sins. I'll bear the punishment that's due him. Well, Christ, our elder brother, paid the full price for it. Therefore, it's called a purchased possession. Over here in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1 and verse 14. Look at that with me, if you will. I'll read it to you. Ephesians 1 and 14. Listen to what it says. At least I thought that's where it was, yes. The eyes of your understanding. See, prior to our being saved by the grace of God, we can't see anything. No spiritual thing. We can't see spiritual things. We can't see and understand how God can be just and justifier of a poor sinner. We can't see that. We can't understand that. We believe that every man stands on his... He's like a tub. Every tub stands on its own bottom. We stand, all of us, on our own hind feet. We stand or we fall in ourselves, what we do and what we don't do. And if I do enough, standing on my own, God will pity me and have mercy. No, I won't. He won't have mercy. Listen. Prior to the entrance of the Lord Jesus Christ into a man's spiritual soul, his eyes are opened and he sees how nasty he is. He sees the awfulness of sin. And he sees the love of God in Christ Jesus. And he hears that voice. You who were dead in trespasses and in sins, hath he quickened. Hath he quickened. He hears that great verse of the Apostle Paul, who said, he loved me and gave himself for me. We say that, well, God would love me, a sinner like I am, a black sinner, blacker than hell itself, worse than a thousand devils. God could love me. And when that love is shed abroad in our hearts, our eyes are open, and we understand, and we begin to know who He is and what He does. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, a purchased possession. Oh, my soul, purchased by the Lord Jesus Himself. It's yours if you are a believer. Don't tell me, just say, I believe in Jesus. Tell me that you believe in the Christ of God, who was God in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, that He stood in my place, in my room, and bore my sins, and provided me with a perfect righteousness and sanctification and justification. Tell me that you're in love with this person and in His work. It's yours by gift. He gives it to you. A gift is not a gift if it's got a string attached to it where you can take it back. I give you this, but I seen you don't appreciate it, so I'll take it away from you. That's not a gift. A gift has no strings to it. It's free. How free can free be? It's a free gift. It's yours. It's by the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, the Bible says in Luke chapter 12. Turn there with me. Luke chapter 12. Luke 12 and 32. Found it. It says, fear not, little flock. Wasn't many of them. They many in God's flock, in light of the billions of people that have walked the face of this earth, of the billions of people that are alive right now, there's not many in God's flock. Little flock. It's a little flock. Not a big flock. Little flock. Fear not, little flock. for it's your Father's good pleasure. You see, I said it was by purchase, and I said it was a gift. And He said, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, to give it to you, not sell it to you, not you buy it, not you contribute something by your effort to lay hold of it, but He gives it to you. It's yours by heirship. You was born to inherit it. Not your natural birth, not by your natural birth. I'm not talking about your natural birth, but by your spiritual birth. You was born to inherit it. You're a joint heir of God, I've already said. And you're a joint heir with Christ, your elder brother. And if you'll turn with me again to Romans chapter 8, I'll read another scripture that will call this to your attention. Romans chapter 8 and verse 17 says this. Well, it says, for we have not received the spirit of bondage, that's verse 15, to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby you can cry, Father, Abba, Father, Father, my Father which is in heaven. You believe that God is your Father, and you cry to Him. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, if we're children of God, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be glorified together or glorified with Him. So it's yours by heirship. You're born to inherit, not by your natural birth, but by your spiritual birth, a joint heir of God. How do you hold this heirship? Why, you hold it by faith. Know this, faith, in a sense, is your title to it, since faith joins you to Him who is our elder brother. It is by faith, you see, that it might be by grace, not of works, lest any man should boast. Works have nothing to do with it, as I tried to say this morning. They neither give us a right to it, or do they give us a title. It's a gift of the free favor of Almighty God, this purchased possession. Works neither procure a right or a title to it. It's a gift of free favor of God. Adoption, due heirship, and purchase of it are all and everything attached to it are of the free grace of God. Even faith to enjoy it is a gift of God. The promise is by grace, the promise of life is by grace. And it is sure and certain. Else God's truth would fail. If it was not sure and it was not certain, the promise of eternal life in Christ, then the Word of God would be null and void. It would fail. If it was suspended, but upon the smallest condition of works. If it depended upon a condition that was very small relative to a good work, that's what I'm saying. If it was like that, then every soul here this evening would forfeit his title to heaven and would fall into the jaws of hell immediately. But it is sure to all the seed, because God who promised it cannot lie. It says this, therefore it is a faith that it might be by grace to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. Sure to all the seed. God who cannot lie promised eternal life before the world began. Look over here in the book of Titus, chapter 1 of the book of Titus. Chapter 1, verse 2. Sure and certain. Life's in Christ. My sins is on Christ. He paid for them, sin bearer. Righteousness, sinless perfections in Him. By one man's obedience, it's all in Him. Quit looking to yourself. Quit saying, I got to do this and I got to do that. What you got to do is trust Him. Everything you need as a sinner is in Him. You got to believe in Him. You got to cast your whole soul, the weight of your whole soul, in the arms of this man. It's in Him. If you're in Him, heaven is sure and certain, as if you had already been there for 10,000 years. If you trust in God's Son, if He's your covering, if He's your sin bearer, if He's your obedience, if He's your righteousness, then you are sure and certain of eternal life. Listen now. It says this, Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect. God's elect. God's got a people. He chose them in Christ and put them in Christ before the world ever was. Calls them here in time. How's He called them? By the gospel. Christ died. Christ suffered. Christ lived. Christ rose again. Christ bore my sins. Christ had provided me a righteousness. Alright, listen. According to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness. Now listen to this. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Isn't that something? Promised before the world began. Well, our elder brother, our Lord Jesus Christ, purchased, paid the full price for our inheritance. Our inheritance is the promise of eternal life, live forever. He purchased that right and give us that title. And on what He did, on the righteousness that He provided, entitles you and I to be a joint heir with God and a joint heir with and what He has, we have. And when we come to the end of life's way, we'll fall asleep. And we'll fall asleep. And when we wake up, we'll be where He's at. We shall never die. I'm the resurrection and the life, and whosoever believeth in this